Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Hey, we're celebrating over 10 years on the air here at KCNR. Phone lines here 530-605-4567, and we are streaming live throughout the world today, the 2nd of June, 2020, 7:05 in the morning, and the news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, community, and courage. Your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center, and I'm here with Ashley.
Good morning.
Good morning. Okay.
We want weather first?
We want weather first.
We are under a heat advisory for today and throughout much of the rest of the week. We are looking at 97 today and 100. We're hitting triple digits, according to this, tomorrow, with a slight northwest wind throughout much of the day, and 99 on Thursday. Things are starting to look like they're going to cool off on Friday with a chance, perhaps, of thunderstorms come Saturday morning.
Oh, again?
That's what it's telling me.
Wow. Just, you know, thunderstorms, waking up to thunderstorms.
So we just stay in the air conditioning during the work week, and then we go outside and dance in the rain on Saturday.
There you go. Hey, weather reports brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, a great company out of Anderson, a veteran-owned company out of Anderson that provides super service. Discounts for seniors and veterans, you can give them a call at 365-3793. There's been no change in COVID statistics for Shasta County. Is there any big changes, big swings anywhere that you've seen?
What I'm looking at says we got an extra almost 3,000 cases confirmed yesterday in California. And 48 deaths yesterday in California.
In California.
In
the death rate in California is still dramatically lower than it is back in New Jersey and New York.
Yeah, it seems to have leveled off, according to the chart I'm looking at here. Yeah. So,
well, I wonder, and I have to ask this, a lot of protests, lots of people out there. I wonder if this is going to, and I just saw that today from one of the, you know, a health expert that said, I'm concerned that all the people, even though some of them are wearing masks, in fact, a lot of them are wearing masks besides Antifa, are wearing masks, and but they're social distancing. I mean, they're right there with each other. And then a lot of them aren't wearing masks, the protesters. And I'm not talking violent protesters. I'm talking people protesting, you know, that are walking the streets, genuinely wanting change. And there's thousands of them. There's no violence there. But that was one of the warnings that came out of the CDC. You know, you can socially distance yourself, I guess, at a protest. We'll find out tonight.
Yeah, there was a person I was discussing the topic with yesterday, and he said there's a difference between protesters and rioters.
Oh,
so
yeah.
He's being very intentional about which one he's using when. Because protests, and his beliefs are very similar to mine, protests are healthy, riots are not. And so distinguishing between the two just in language, I think, helps.
Well, I think it does, too. I mean, there's a big difference between a protest and a riot. And many of the protesters who are, you know, rightfully, you know, marching for change, they're out there pleading with rioters. And Ryan Cibolo, used to be a writer here, but he's, you know, he writes down for the Sacramento Bee, was out there the other day, and he said, oh, there's a big difference here. the camera crew had their camera stolen. They tried to steal his iPhone, when he was trying to record this. He felt like he was threatened with assault all the time. And he talked about how the protesters were asking these people, please, begging these people, please don't go out, don't riot. You're doing nothing for the cause. And they ignored him, went out and started throwing bricks. So.
Yep. And looking at the top news stories about protests from New York Times, I'm looking at CBS, I'm looking at CNN. They're calling all of these riots protests in their headlines.
Well, that's not true, though. It's not true. It's, you know, it's denigrating the people that are protesting. We're going to talk about that. Mm-hmm. We have one tonight here. Before we get into that, though, I want to give a shout out to Donna Ellis. She's been a long time listener, and she wrote us a note, and just a note to thank you for the good programs I hear on your station. And you know, Donna, you sent this in, you know, a month or so ago, a couple months now, and it's been sitting on my desk because I read it, and it's not a long note. I mean, it's just about like that, and you know, a couple more things. Great handwriting. Much better than mine. You know, people have come up through the cursive system. For some reason, you can tell, and their handwriting is so good. Much better than mine. Even though I came up through the cursive system, I'm just sloppy when it comes to writing. But I just want to say thank you, Donna, for listening. And, you know, it would be nice if we start celebrating, you know, like the big birthdays and things like that. So, anyway, Donna, thank you. Thank you for listening. Cullen Kreider, our police chief here in Redding, is retiring. You know, he came on in 2018 after our fire chief at that time died suddenly of a heart attack. And he came in during this time. He got, you know, car fire, Jeremy Stokes being killed during the fires, you know, the campfire after that. He's been involved with Redding Fire Department since he was, he hired on when he was a kid as a janitor at one of the fire stations. And Cullen Kreider is a good guy. He is a good guy. But now he's retiring. He's going to retire August 31st, and they're on the search now for another fire chief. He wants to go on and start something new in his life. So. Terry, good morning, buddy.
Hey, Carl, how you doing?
Well, you know what? It just keeps rolling this year for our country. You know, I mean, and you get up here to our area. You know, we've had we go through it all. I mean, you can go through car fires, snowmageddon, you know, all these things. You know, droughts, these things going on, and then we get hit with the COVID, and now this. I mean, the country, unrest in our country, and I think the protest is just great. That's what we're founded on. Our country started there, but riots afterwards where they're destroying people's lives, you know, they may not be shooting them in the face, but they're destroying people's lives by burning stores, burning things they put their whole lives into, you know, concerns me. But what do you have, buddy? I know there was a decision that just seems to be totally wrong.
Are you talking about with the Supreme Court?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the Ninth Circuit Court, yeah.
Actually, yeah. The Supreme Court of the United States gave... Oh, you're talking about the CFR case.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that, well, first of all, I wanted to read you a couple of questions that you might get a chuckle out of and might even... I like your response on them. But there are things maybe we should ask the Board of Supervisors today.
Okay.
One of them is, why can't you have an elective surgery, but you can have an abortion which is elective? That's one. Yeah. Why should you stay inside, but yet heat kills the virus? Why don't people know that these are recommendations, not laws? A law goes through due process. Why is it okay for government officials to get a haircut, but not common citizens?
I asked that one.
What?
I asked that one to Les.
Why the fear when the virus has a less than 1% death rate? Why have coroners questioned death certificates listed as CV-19? What makes one person essential and yet not another? Where is the flu gone? Why are they telling you to mask up after 3 months of lockdown? Why have most other death rates dropped since the virus? Why are hospitals paid more for COVID-19 deaths? Why are some doctors who are speaking out getting silenced? And why can 500 people shop at Home Depot, but we're not allowed to go back into church buildings? Just a few questions to ask the.
Well, the first question is there are elective surgeries now. They started about 2 weeks ago here in Redding. I don't know about the rest of the country, but yeah. In Redding they did. The rest of the questions are good questions. And I asked Les, Les, why can you get a haircut? Well, if you said the rest of us can't, and I hope you heard the show. It wasn't, I mean, his answer was, I'm still not sure what the answer was, but it was, well, you know, he was, you know.
Anyway. He needed one.
Yeah. Okay. Those are good questions, Terry. Thank you. In fact, Alyssa McEwen's going to be our guest here in like 3 minutes.
Oh, that'll be great.
Yeah.
That'll
you know, great. And by the way, the, it appears the board of supervisors have listened. And then when we have at 8 o'clock, when we have Michael DeQuisto on, I'm asking him the same question about why isn't the chambers of the city council open then?
Yeah.
So we'll hear that. So okay, thanks a lot, buddy.
All right, brother.
Okay.
Talk to you later.
Hey, we're going to take a quick break here. This portion of the show brought to you by Clyde's. Oh. Clyde's, the original is still the best. 1250 Hartnell Avenue. Give them a call at 221-4144. Specializing in home electronics and helping people over 32 years in the satellite business. Your source for dish. That's Clyde's Enterprises. We'll be right back with Alyssa McEwen.
Swapping out on cares. Talking politics. Blonde and redhead chicks. Old dogs and new tricks. And habits we ain't kicked. We talked about God's grace. All the hell we raised. Then I heard the old man say, God is great, beer is good, and people are crazy.
Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low-sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167. 241-1167.
Good morning, Reading. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
Hi, I'm Sue Blake with Powerhouse Solar. Solar energy not only makes financial sense, but right now you can go solar for zero money down. At Powerhouse Solar, we install the most cost-effective and highest efficiency panels from SunPower. And with the electric company's rolling blackouts, Powerhouse Solar can make sure your family is not left in the dark. We have generators and battery backup systems designed for your specific needs. Call Powerhouse Solar today at 275-5600 or visit us on the web at powerhousesolar.com.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004. But our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio. Phone lines here are 605-4567, and today is the 2nd of June, 7:20 in the morning, 70 degrees out there, going up to 97. This portion of the show brought to you by Bastiani Arms. John started this business about 10 years ago. In fact, it's probably been 10 years, right? I think it was last month. Located at 2539 Larkspurling Place, I go to buy firearms because of the customer service. They give veterans discounts. They have everything there that I've ever wanted to have in guns or ammo or accessories. And they pride themselves, like I said, on customer service. They have it all, classes on concealed carry, on hunter safety. They have it if you're looking for it, and they're local, and give them a chance to beat the big box stores. That's for sure. 2539 Larkspur. Give them a call at 222-8222. Open Tuesday through Saturday. I'm here with Alyssa McEwen, who was on here last week discussing her attempt at reading a very simple message, a very short message to the Board of Supervisors. And then when they wouldn't let her do that, she read it to them anyway with a bullhorn provided by a friendly person in there who just happened to have a bullhorn. And so since then, things have happened.
Yeah. Good morning. Thank you for having me on again.
Oh, yeah. I always like to follow it up to see.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You know, talking to members of the Board of Supervisors. Oh, come on, guys. So what happened?
Well, I think the big news here is they've reopened the boardroom for public comment.
Wow.
So this morning.
I wonder why they did that.
I can't figure it out. We are just thrilled to have it reopened. 9 o'clock today, public comment, I believe, comes first, and they're giving everybody the standard 3 minutes to speak. And that could be, you know, maybe they want to talk about reopening Shasta County or airing some other grievance, but it was due time, and we are thrilled to be active again in our community and make sure that we're being represented.
Okay, so they are going to do it how?
So they are going to have us in the hallway.
Mm-hmm.
And then let us in one by one to the podium to speak.
No problem there.
No problem there at all.
That was never a problem, you know, understanding the distancing and all that, just the ability to talk to our supervisors.
Exactly. And then they're also going to allow the room to be filled to about 20 or 25% capacity so that they are still fulfilling the new protest regulations per our governor.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we will take what we can get right now. And
well, no, there's nothing wrong with that. You're still able to address the Board of Supervisors.
That's right.
And look, we still have this virus here.
Yep.
Whether depending on how much you believe it's, you know, still in our area, how dangerous it is, I believe that certain people, if they get this, they're dead.
Mm-hmm.
They don't. I mean, they're dead. We've been doing everything. We've been social distancing. Everybody's been doing everything they can to blunt this curve, which we have, I think, very well.
And the data shows that we have.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, we'll never eradicate illness or disease. And that's always been a struggle. And if you're sick, stay home. And I hope people, of course, do that again today.
Yeah.
You know, the people of Shasta County have really care about their neighbors, and we really care about our community. And we want to do the right thing here today. And so I think we are going to have this wonderful opportunity to hear from people about what they think our county should be doing and what's best for us, not what's best for L.A. or a different state, but what's best for us.
Well, there are a lot of things Terry called in about, you know, a few minutes before you came on. He had like a series of questions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why are we being told to stay inside when we've also been told the heat kills this virus?
Yeah.
About why can Well, and that's been open too about people getting haircuts and things like this. But there's still rules out there that people are trying to follow, and it still has a big dent on our economy.
Oh, it's going to decimate our economy if we stay closed any longer. But I think it's interesting too. You know, we just mentioned the data and what's happening, and you know, is it killed by sunshine? Is it killed by heat? And our governor has said, you know, he would be guided by the data as we move through these restrictions. And the data shows there's a really interesting number called expected mortality that the CDC releases. And what that shows is how many people are expected to die, you know, each week, year over year. What's the average?
Mm-hmm.
California, the entire state of California, is released by the CDC last as of June 1st, had an expected mortality rate of 101%. That's normal. 100% is exactly normal. So what we're finding out here...
We need to go back and look at that figure. The mortality rate of California is 100%.
The expected mortality rate.
That's everybody.
Right. And so what that's saying is whether they're dying from coronavirus or dying from a car crash, we are exactly normal year over year.
I see what you're saying, is that percentage that's supposed to be dying...
Yes, exactly. Percent of expected death. So actually, I had it wrong. June 1st for California was 97%.
So we're under.
We're actually under.
So we say we're going to lose 10,000 a month. Let's just say 10,000 a month. We're right there at 10,000 a month with the COVID, without.
With everything,
I wonder if part of this could be is that because of the distancing and all that, people that would have died from the flu didn't get it.
Well, and that's interesting.
Or people are not driving, because if you look, my auto insurance company is giving me rebates because there's nobody on the roads.
Right.
Except now. It'll be interesting to see what that rate looks like in about a week, because people are driving again.
Right. Well, and it's interesting to look at, you know, Connecticut is only at 49% of their expected deaths, but New York is significantly over. So what that does tell us is that something different is happening in New York. And maybe there is more social distancing or fewer surgeries, fewer elective surgeries happening that are having complications. There could be so many things happening. But what we know is that if we're going to be guided by data, we have to take all the data into consideration. Mm-hmm. So I think looking at things like this is so important.
So it, unfortunately, okay, so what they're saying, their projected data of the number of people that should die every month from the CDC, though, is different than the projected data for COVID, because then they didn't have anything they were working on. So they were doing computer modeling, which caused us to, you know, to look at 1.2 million people dead.
And the projections were wrong.
Yeah, because, well, they were, but they were working off computer models
that
looked at other countries and looked at, the possibilities if we did nothing.
Exactly.
So we in California are even below our average by 3%.
Just a
while
little bit.
New York is probably above theirs by
a
large
sure
amount.
Is. That's right. And so it's
But that stands to reason, because you look at where the amount of deaths are. The highest amount of deaths are New Jersey and New York, I believe, in the country.
Mm-hmm.
I think almost half of the people dying are in like three different cities.
And more than half are in nursing homes as well. So that was another study that came out. Oh. But that's...
Somebody needs to go to jail over that one.
I would look more into it, but from what I've read, I agree with you.
Why would you put COVID-19 patients into a nursing home?
Isn't that unreal?
I don't understand this at all, because we already know that people with underlying conditions, I think age is one of those, and if you're a nursing home, means you're not well, so...
Right. And it'll be really interesting. So today, I think we're going to talk at the Board of Supervisors meeting. There's going to be a lot of data. We're going to talk about mortality rates in Shasta County and what has happened here. But I think, you know, from me personally, I'm still going to be making that call to Liberty, and that especially in a place like Shasta County, where you have such wonderful voluntary compliance, because we love our community and we love our neighbors, you know, we need to get back to Liberty. We need to get back to the foundation of our country. And go from there.
Okay. I'm with Alyssa McEwen, and we're taking a quick break here. When we come back, a question is, can you give some background on your guest, and we'll come back and reintroduce you that way. This portion of the show brought to you by Alliance Heating and Air, who is, by the way, coming to our house today. Why? Because our air conditioner has decided that our house needs to be no cooler than 82. They're coming over to check, and I tell you what, they're going to be there at 11 o'clock today, and we're going to be there, you know, telling them, do it. Whatever you have to do, fix it. They've been doing this for over 25 years, a veteran-owned business. They are just outstanding. They provide warranties, guarantees. They can work on any type of system. They can put in new systems. They can put in demand, on-demand hot water systems. They've got it all there. Give them a call at 221-2642 or learn more at their website, homecomfort.org. We'll be right back with Alyssa McKeown.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
So what's Scorecard Scribbling's all about?
I was scared for my life at that point. I remember looking to the right and seeing all the medical supplies there, and I'm just thinking, are they going to cut off a leg? What are we doing here?
I had a coach that would come up to me on the plane, stick his hand out. I knew what he wanted. Yeah. Who am I not to give him to him? Like, I thought, okay, job security.
We came to the ballpark every day. We knew we were going to win. It's a great experience, a great feeling to be on a club like that.
Scorecard Scribblings with Brent Weber, Wednesday nights from 6 to 7 on KCNR.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts, Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
KCA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now, and a lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvie with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
The hotline is open on KCNR 1460, 530-605-4567.
It's our time to take a stand. Remember who.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Phone lines here are 605-4567. Yeah, open phone lines for our guest, Alyssa McKeown, 7:34 in the morning. This today. And this is, we've got to listen for about another 15 or 20 minutes here because she's going to quickly move over to the Board of Supervisors and make sure she gets a spot in line to be able to talk to the Board of Supervisors.
That's
so,
right.
But somebody wants to know who Alyssa McEwen is. Can you tell them who you are?
A little bit of background is I'm a mom. I moved to Shasta County a couple of years ago for my husband's position, and we've really fallen in love with being up here. We love being outdoors. We hike. We try to get on the lake, and we just love the neighborhood and love the community up here. And so I'm just really passionate about keeping Shasta County vibrant.
Okay. And part of being vibrant is getting it open again.
That's right.
And then Alyssa went to the Board of Supervisors meeting a couple of weeks ago, and they wouldn't let her speak, so she used a bullhorn and became a name overnight, even though that's not what the plan was.
That was not the plan.
Just wanted to read my 2 minute.
Yeah, and you know,
letter.
And if they had taken a phone call or handed me a wireless mic, all of this would have gone away very quickly. But you know, I think things happened the way they did and pulled back the curtain on a lot of stuff that was happening not only in their hallway but mm-hmm. on the board. So we're thrilled to be able to go today at 9 o'clock and give public comment, and that's anybody can show up and do that.
And we're also going to have Michael DeQuisto on, Reading City Councilman, at 8 o'clock. We're going to ask him about that. Why isn't the City Council doing that? Also, we're going to talk about the proposed march for in the memory of George Floyd, that's happening tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So many questions people are asking, and how can 500 people shop at Home Depot, but we're not allowed to have more than 25% capacity in a church? I mean, and or a restaurant. And I went to Lowe's this weekend
mm-hmm.
because I looked at my other local stores, and what I was looking for they didn't have.
Mm-hmm.
So I went over to Lowe's. Had my mask, put my mask on. I was lonely there in my mask. Then I went to Trader Joe's for shopping. And usually Trader Joe's, I mean, they make you wait outside and all that.
They sure do.
A lot of their people, their employees working their cash registers were not wearing the mask.
Mm-hmm.
Many of their employees stocking shelves were not wearing the mask. They
yep.
weren't wearing gloves. So, you know, when you see this, people are kind of like, okay, we've dodged a bullet.
Well, and I think the important thing here to notice right away is that, you know, we're all starting to circle back to doing what's best for our own health. So I love that you are concerned and that you want to wear a mask. And I don't think anybody disagrees with that. I think you should support your own health in the best way that you see fit. But yeah, seeing people unmasked and being able to go into these stores, whether they have social distancing or not, they're private businesses. You know, I think we all have to do what we've always done, which is practice good hygiene, stay home if you're sick, and refer to your doctor for advice.
Yeah, there you go. And big thing is staying home if you're sick.
Absolutely.
And you know what? The sanitation of your hands, washing your hands, having your hand sanitizer, because it's out there now. You can find it.
Yep.
Just washing your hands and staying
home if
you're
sick. It's what we learned in kindergarten, right?
That's right.
I mean,
I like, frankly, I like the idea of people not being crowded up against me when I'm in the, you know, in a line.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, I lived a lot of my life that, you know, you were, I can't say it on the radio how they describe how close you were when you're in lines in the military.
Sure.
But the, idea of not having, you know, of having 3 or 4 feet between you, you know, take out the maybe the 6 feet, but make it at least 3 feet.
Right. Well, and there's, again, yeah. that personal bubble, and there have been so many shows that have commented on that. But, you know, I think we are watching people take their health back into their own hands and saying, you know, we're adults. We know what to do. We're going to make the best choices for ourselves and our community. And I think that's exciting. I think it's exciting to get back to our lives and our freedom, and we're pursuing our happiness again.
Okay. I think that's the bottom line on this. Where do you see, you know, I'm just going to ask you about the, you know, like the marches that we're seeing across America.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you are obviously an individualist and are for protesting for freedom and for the right things.
Absolutely.
For people.
Yes.
So what's your take on this?
I think, you know, our right to peaceably assemble has been secured for us. And I think that's really important in our freedom of speech and our freedom of press. Rioting is a different topic. Anything violent is something that I personally would stand against. But I think this is a much more complicated issue than can be described as either peaceful or violent. And it's a terrible time in our country. I think we have a great moment of civil unrest here. And just like with what's happening now, we need people to rise up in places of leadership, people who have not spoken before, people who are not comfortable speaking. And we need to rise up in solidarity, if nothing else, to make meaningful change. And it's a big call to action for people. We've been comfortable for so long, but if we don't stand up and if we don't speak our hearts and if we don't work together, unfortunately, I think we will see more civil unrest.
Yeah. Did you see the video of,
yes,
Mr. Fowler? I'm sorry.
The video of George Floyd.
Right.
Yes.
Floyd.
Yeah.
Where'd I get the word Fowler from? Okay. As soon as I said it, you gave me a look and I went, that's not right. George Floyd. I looked at that. And then there's another one, and it's from Seattle, mm-hmm, where the riots are going on, and mm-hmm, two policemen have a rioter down and one of them's got his knee on the guy's neck.
Yeah.
And the other one's while they're cuffing him. And the one guy cuffing him said something. The other guy had his knee on his neck. Of course, people are around, and you can hear him, you know, yelling about his knee on his neck.
Sure.
And then the one that was cuffing him, as soon as he got the cuffs on him, took the other guy's knee and shoved it off.
Absolutely.
Which is what police do to help each other on like this. When you had three other police standing by, and the guy had his knee on Mr. Floyd's neck.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody said anything. And that was, I just know that's against protocol.
It is. And I don't know a single law enforcement locally or in the nation that condones what happened. And I think that's important to note. And I was thinking about the Rodney King riots and how, you know, it was a tragedy what happened to Rodney King. But the reason people rioted was because the officers were acquitted, right? And then they got out in the street and they were very angry and they were righteous in their anger. But this is a different situation because the officers they have been arrested that were involved. And I believe, and I might have this wrong, but they're going to be charged with manslaughter, maybe worse, who knows? So it's hard sometimes to follow what the narrative is exactly right now.
Mm-hmm. When you start reading things about, and something that you and I will never know about, just driving down the street, being worried I'm going to be pulled over. And I'm not sure that's in every town. I'm not sure that happens in Reading, but when you have people of color in here, well, you know, maybe they have things to say. I mean, your kid walking home from school.
Right.
He's a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
That becomes a fear for people of color.
Right.
And that's something that I've never had to deal with. So
yeah,
it's very difficult to put myself in that situation.
To find that empathy, right, when you have an experience.
Not necessarily the empathy, but to know that, but not ever have that feeling. You know, it's, yes, there's an empathy there, or there's a concern there.
Yes.
But then what's being said is something you said. We have to be in solidarity and saying this kind of stuff's got to stop.
Right.
I mean, the police job is so hard. And there are so many times that, you know, the police have to make these split-second decisions, and then they're second-guessed. On the other hand, in a case like this, it is so obvious. Now I'm second guessing because I don't know what happened before, but I do know the guy was laying there.
Yep.
And there were underlying conditions, which is why they didn't charge him with murder in the second degree.
Well, and we'll see. I think there's an investigation that President Trump had talked about as well that's going to be happening. But I think it's so important, like you said, that we be empathetic, that we listen. And that also, more importantly, I think people need to start speaking up. These conversations should be happening around the dinner table and with our children and with our community members. What's our plan? What are we going to do? And how can we listen? And what can we do to create meaningful change?
I think you're right on. And you're doing that from at your level?
Yeah.
With the Board of Supervisors, and you've already got change.
And I think at the local level, this is where we start. You know, I would love to say, let's all go to Sacramento and make a difference. And sometimes you can, but, you know, sometimes just working where you are, where you live and where you play is the best place to start.
This is where you have the biggest impact is right here. Now, are you planning on going down to city council tonight with your bullhorn and saying, hello, hello, open.
You know, I'm not. And the reason why is because the county, you know, after all my research and my phone calls to different levels of our government and, you know, locally and state, it turns out the Board of Supervisors is the one that holds the key to the city.
There it is.
So that we got to keep working on them and encourage them to do the right thing.
There you go. And they are living in a fear of what could happen. And we're living in the reality of what's happening to us.
That's right.
The only good thing is, as I can say, is I can't find a parking spot now, starting last Friday.
Yeah.
In the front or sometimes in the back.
Yeah.
And today is half price hamburger at Maxwell's. And they just opened up Monday. So it's half price on their hamburgers today. So this is a good chance for you to come down. I was going to say wait till after 11:30 because I was going to run in there real quick.
But trying to get first in line.
Trying to get first in line there. But they're
not
open.
A bunch of people behind
you. There's plenty of parking in the back of the of our area right here where the old police station used to be. So come on down and start visiting our businesses. Alyssa, thank you very much for being here with us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Well, and let me know what happened at the Board of Supervisors. I'm sure that you're going to be in there being able to speak to them. And you know, hope they don't make you wear like a face shield.
No, and you know what? They did provide us with guidelines in terms of that they will be following the social distancing and that sort of thing. So We'll be following that, and I would love to make a call to action that if you're listening to this right now, the Board of Supervisors meeting is at 9 a.m. today at 1450 Court Street. If you'd like to speak, be there at 8:45, fill out your form, and air your grievance.
And this is a great time since you can go in there and say, why don't you have a meeting maybe once a quarter, at least once a quarter at night? So, you know, and do that for 6 months to see, you know, more people show up and, you know, that aren't working and all these. This has been going on for 10 years, asking every member of the Board of Supervisors, and every one of them says, well, you know, we'll take a look at that.
And we talked about this a little bit before. You know, it's time to get a little uncomfortable.
Yep.
If it
now
means
it's time
we need to show
pushing.
Up at night, if it means that, you know, we need, if, you know, for us, I think it means for the people, it means, you know, take an early lunch break, get down to these meetings. And for our government, it means get a little uncomfortable by hosting a night meeting, staying a little longer than you expected to, taking phone calls when that's not something you'd normally do. Let's start a dialogue.
Yeah, and the thing is what's your job? Your job is to listen to constituents.
That's right.
And the only way you're going
to represent constituents. That's their job.
That's the other one, is listen to your constituents and represent us. Yeah. So I think that it's time to stop straddling the fence there for some of these issues.
That's right.
Okay. Alyssa, thanks a lot.
Thank you so much for having me.
You bet. 7:48 in the morning, 70 degrees, and this portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop. They're open. They are working on appointments, 244-9478. Man's Last Stronghold. I got my hair cut there Friday. It's amazing what they have to do to keep you safe, and that includes a 10-minute sanitizing, washing, routine they do for everybody. You get your own disposable drape that goes over you. They're wearing a disposable one for each customer. There's no more Tootsie Roll Pops out there like they used to have. too bad. Because if you were good, you could get one when you got your haircut. All right. Cypress Square Barbershop. We'll be right back. Bobby,
Enjoy year-round access to everything Turtle Bay Exploration Park has to offer with a discounted annual membership. On sale now through May 31st for $15 off. All new and existing memberships are extended for the duration of the pandemic closure. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. If you're 50 or older, now is the time to schedule this life-saving test. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%, so stop making excuses and get screened. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call him at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
If you're looking for the accountability of a personal trainer, the energy and camaraderie of a group, and a budget-conscious price tag, then our team training at Adamson's Peak Performance is for you. We've got your fitness needs covered with five types of time-efficient, 30-minute team training workouts. Mix and combine these challenging strength and conditioning sessions to enhance sports performance, build muscle, burn fat, and sculpt the body you've been dreaming of. AdamsonsPeakPerformance.com or call us at 221-8006.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
So what's Scorecard Scribbling's all about?
I was scared for my life at that point. I remember looking to the right and seeing all the medical supplies there, and I'm just thinking, are they going to cut off a leg? What are we doing here?
I had a coach that would come up to me on the plane, stick his hand out. I knew what he wanted. Who am I not to give him to him? Like, I thought, okay, job security.
We came to the ballpark every day. We knew we were going to win. It's a great experience, a great feeling to be on a club like that.
Scorecard Scribblings with Brent Weber, Wednesday nights from 6 to 7 on KCNR.
Enjoy year-round access to everything Turtle Bay Exploration Park has to offer with a discounted annual membership. On sale now through May 31st for $15 off. All new and existing memberships are extended for the duration of the pandemic closure. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Orchard Nutrition Center asks, what does it mean to be local?
It's the Little League baseball team. It's a smile and a wave from a neighbor you've known for years, helping out a stranger just because it's the right thing to do.
It's a lot like Orchard Nutrition Center, caring about the people and the community that you call home.
Orchard Nutrition Center, since 1982.
We're all in it together.
Join the conversation online in our chat room, kcnr1460.com.
Welcome back to 3-5 Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Phone lines here, 605-4567. If you've got something you want to say, this is a good time to do it because 8 o'clock, Mike DeQuisto from City Council will be on. This portion of the show brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, certified by the Joint Commission on Advanced Primary Stroke Facility. They have preventative care and screening of high-risk patients working together to provide high quality and care throughout the hospitalization to discharge, from hospitalization through discharge. Shasta Regional Medical Center. Healing starts there. Okay, a couple of other things. Of course, we are going to, it looks like there is going to be a protest tonight, and it starts at Kohl's at 6:30 in the parking lot there. There, like I said, I'm going to speak a little bit more about this. I've reached out, and I'm talking to one of the ladies that are organizing this. I'm trying to see if we can get her on tomorrow morning. To talk about the results of the protest, what led to it besides, of course, the killing of that gentleman in Minnesota. and why that this is a time that could be, could see change. And I'm not talking about, you know, people are talking about the, you know, maybe prison reform, you know, training, in neighborhoods, you know, the, or in for policing, which I think our police here are well trained. I have not heard of things of where people feel like they've been just pulled over and given tickets or harassed because of being of color. And I know enough people like that. Now, there's going to be people who say, oh, you are so wrong, Carl. Well, I hope that you call in or you drop me an email so then I can have, you know, have you on the show so we can talk about this. Because this is a time that there is obviously this is a time that for change in our country through the, because of this COVID-19, because of other things that are happening in our social structure and a rending of our social structure. I think what we can't forget this is that there's brutality. There is numbness. There is I don't care in some officers in the police departments throughout our nation. And what this man did to George Floyd was uncaring, totally wasn't needed. But has he gone, is it because he saw him not as a person, but just simply as a piece of meat laying there, a perp? And really didn't make any difference because perps need to be treated like this. And would he have done it to anybody that he had become associated, or that he had arrested? Because not all police do this. The vast majority of the police don't do this. So could we, you know, can we agree that there are people that are just should not be in the police departments, that that they're going to do this no matter what the color of the individual they have got on the ground, this power play that they're doing, where you're leaning up and you've got all your weight on somebody? Can we agree on that? Or do we have to color every policeman like this fellow, who, by the way, is in the maximum security jail now in Minnesota? This is not going to stop today. It's not going to stop tomorrow. This is going to be a long summer. We're going to see what happens. And then on top of that, people that have been inside, people that have been locked down, and then this happens. And this is, COVID has already got people on the edge, and then something like this happens. Now, I'm not taking it away from Antifa or other paid or non-paid professional demonstrators who travel from spot to spot, which is one of the questions I'm going to talk to about Mike DeQuisto about, is reports that they've heard buses coming down to Reading. And is this true, or have the police heard this? I know the police are prepared to with reinforcements if needed from our sheriff's department, the CHP, no, not the National Guard. We've never had an incident that I can remember, and if we have, somebody needs to, illuminate me on this about having a riot in Reading. I don't know if we've ever had a riot in Reading, and I don't picture this happening. I picture this tonight being just what it is, just like Friday night. If you remember, we had another protest and a march. Friday night, no problems, nothing happened, and I don't expect anything else to be for tonight. I think our community is too level-headed for that. And I hope that people that are thinking there's going to be problems, so they're going to go down there so they can be there to help, also have a solid, have a solid step back plan and not get involved in anything violent. So, the chat room is lit up here. They're arguing about if somebody should, why can't you protest once you've been arrested? No, you know what? It's simple. And as somebody said here, don't resist when a cop tells you to, then you don't have to face an amped up armed officer of the law. They said of the peace. We'll be right back after these messages and after the news with Mike DeQuisto. And it is 7:59 here on the 2nd of May. 74 degrees today, going up to 97. Heat advisories out there. We'll be right back.
I focus on the pain, the only thing that's real. The needle.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. Wearing body armor and carrying shields, police in Washington, D.C. marching in line, ordering protesters to back off. Washington, one of many American cities to see more chaos on the streets overnight. Daybreak saw the streets of many cities littered with broken glass and debris. President Trump vows to put an end to the violence if the nation's governors fail to do so.
I am your president of law and order.
In a Rose Garden speech, the president described the mayhem, looting, and arson as acts of domestic terror and said it must stop.
First, we are ending the riots and lawlessness that has spread throughout our country. We will end it now.
Earlier, he told governors they need to get much tougher on the demonstrators, and he threatened to deploy the U.S. military to quell the violent protests. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Former Vice President Biden delivering a campaign speech in Philadelphia calling on Congress to act on what he calls real police reform. The presumptive Democrat presidential nominee also says it's time to confront what he says is systemic racism in American society. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio saying the city's curfew will take effect at 8 o'clock tonight. This after last night's 11 p.m. curfew failed to quell overnight unrest in America's largest city. Macy's flagship store on Herald Square among the targets of looters overnight. The Minnesota Attorney General says prosecutors are working as fast as they can to determine whether more charges will be filed against officers involved in the death of George Floyd. Attorney General Keith Ellison is lead prosecutor in the case. On Wall Street, stocks have turned mixed. Right now, the Dow is up about 149 points. The NASDAQ is 36 points lower. The S&P 500 index up 6.5 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
I love golf, and I also stink at golf. I've tried it all. The lessons, the special swing contraptions, the neon brush tees, the funny hats, the putting all of my change in my left pocket. I like to say I just happen to have a high golf handicap. My friends would say I have a high talent disadvantage. Luckily, while I might be fighting some disadvantages on the golf course, at our Faith and Family Mortgage team, we're lucky to be able to serve listeners with a unique advantage. Our team is an arm of a bigger company who is a direct lender, which means our company gets to use its own money and make its own decisions within its own walls. And for you, that can mean shorter turnaround times and often a lower rate, which could save you monthly and lifelong money on a new home, refinance, or cash-out refinance. We are United Faith Mortgage.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp, 25 Melville Park, Melville, New York, licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to animalistconsumeraccess.org, corporate animalist number 1330, equal housing lender. I have a license in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, Mississippi, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Utah.
The number of positive test results for coronavirus in Israel appears to be higher than what's being reported. The latest from the Media Line's Lawrence Rifkin.
New serological testing in Israel shows that perhaps 10 times as many people have been infected by the coronavirus than previously thought. As of Tuesday, the official tally was just over 17,200 based on swab testing. But blood tests that got underway last week, with about 1,700 conducted so far, now indicate a number closer to 200,000. The big difference is that the serological testing picks up antibodies in people who have recovered without knowing they were infected. The country is now seeing something of a second round of fresh infections, most of them centered around junior high and high schools. I'm Lawrence Rifkin, Town Hall News, Jerusalem.
News and analysis at themedialine.org and townhall.com. Senators on both sides of the aisle condemning the police killing of George Floyd and the riots engulfing many major American cities.
Republican Mitch McConnell calls free speech and peaceful protest central American liberties, but says
looting, rioting, assault, and arson
are violent crimes that have no place. No place.
Democrat Charles Schumer says it's time to reform law enforcement.
We must work to bring accountability to police departments so that bad actors are not shielded from culpability.
Both spoke as the Senate returned to Washington after a week-long Memorial Day recess. Bob Agnew reporting.
The base of a Confederate monument in Alabama is all that remains this morning in Birmingham's Lynn Park. Live video recorded overnight shows that crews worked into the early morning hours dismantling the top portion of that monument. Once again on Wall Street this hour, the Dow is up 149 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Phone lines here, 530-605-4567. Today, the 2nd of June, 8:05 in the morning. News brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Caring, compassion, community, courage. Your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center. And Ashley has our weather here for the rest of the week and into the weekend.
Happy National Rocky Road Day. That's an important holiday.
Wait a minute, that's one, but usually you give me like 12.
Okay. It is also Bubba Day. I'm not sure what that means.
Bubba.
B-U-B-B-A.
Bubba Day. Yes, yeah, for your Bubbas. It's down south. It's more.
I believe you. It's national, so who knows. It is leave the office early today, so bye.
Yeah, you will finish the show, though, right?
Yes, of course.
Okay, thank you.
It is also National Rotisserie Chicken Day, which is probably where I'll go when I leave the office early.
I have this great chicken soup recipe in it, but it's used with a rotisserie chicken. Simple, easy to make. You can, from start to finish, 30 minutes.
My sister makes a fantastic buffalo dip with rotisserie chicken. It's got like cream cheese and blue cheese and Tabasco and all that. Anyway.
Okay.
We are looking at a heat advisory for today throughout much of the rest of the week with a high of 97 today, triple digits tomorrow, and then 99 on Thursday. But things are going to start cooling down by the weekend. We are looking at a chance of thunderstorms by Saturday morning.
Okay, and the weather report's brought to you by our friends over at Shasta Gas Propane, a family-owned business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans, a veteran-owned business. You can give them a call at 365-3793. In the studios with me today is Michael DeQuisto. So, Mike, good morning.
Good morning,
Carl. A lot of things going on today.
Today's a pretty slow news day. I figure that's why you have me.
Oh, no, we can, but we can spice it up, trust me. The two things are going on. I want to talk first about the march tonight.
Yes.
We had a march Friday that was just perfectly peaceful. I mean, there was no problems during that march. Last Friday.
Yeah, we were actually notified, the council members were notified a day or two before, as soon as they first heard about it, and we were kept up to date with what the police were doing and the other agencies. They all combined, the sheriff and the CHP and RPD. And it turned out great. There wasn't any problem.
Not one problem there, which is what you expect in Reading. I mean, we've had plenty of marches before. We've never had a problem.
No, we haven't. And so that turned out to be just great, and everything worked out. Without disclosing, the RPD and the other law enforcement were ready in case something did happen. There was backup and plans and things like that. And I'm glad. I as many times as people want to have marches like that, God bless them. It's the right to assemble and the right to peacefully protest.
There you go.
And
it's what our country, it's one of the founding. It's one of the, what our founding fathers wanted: the right to assemble and the right to protest like this. The March Friday. We've had, since I've been here, we've had dozens of marches, and never once did we ever figure that, and never once did we see anything that was even close to violent. I think, you know, some people were, if they stand on a corner, somebody might honk their horn or wave at them with one finger, but that's about as violent as it gets.
Well, that's pretty much true. I think every Martin Luther King Day, they have a march from the courthouse to the MLK Center or vice versa.
And patriots get out there on the corners a lot of times, and have marches. I mean, this is something that our country is founded on.
It is
this freedoms that we have here, freedom of religion, which I think is probably, at this point, we can say it's not under attack, but right now it's being pushed around a lot.
Well, the other aspect of the march, it's a two-part equation, is the protesters have their view, but then everybody else who isn't marching has to be respectful of the right to protest and the right to do that. And as long as you have both of those together, there shouldn't be any problem. When you're not respectful and when you do things that are beyond the scope of peaceful protest, that the problems arise.
Okay. Hey, I want to take I'm going to take an early break here because I want to spend the rest of the time talking about things, you know, with today's social media, things are blasted out that are true or untrue. But because in the military we call it circular reporting, somebody writes something or sees something, and then somebody else picks up on that as a form of, oh, gosh, there's some information there. So they report it. And it goes all of a sudden, it comes back to the first person who goes, oh, just what I said. Now it's, you know, and I'm hearing it from three other sources, so I'm verifying this to be true. And it's all based on something that somebody said. And with Facebook, there you go. Somebody says something on Facebook, somebody else sees it, or they pass it on, and somebody sees it from a separate person. Oh, it's happening. And now you have to react to this because now everybody believes, including the first person who put it in there, saying, I knew I was right. We're going to take a break. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at SST Oil. You know, fire season starting, and where's SST Oil? Right on the front lines with our firefighters. They make sure they have the diesel, and the jet fuel, the gasoline they need to keep their machines, their earth movers, their trucks going to fight these fires. And SST Oil is right up there on the front lines with them. This plus at the same time keeping all the fuel going and or a lot of the fuel moving in 12 western states and of course all of California here. SST Oil, they're always looking for good employees. It's an employee owned company. I can't say enough about them. They support this community in about 500 different ways. SST Oil. You can give them a call at 241-1167 and ask them about their CFN card for fueling, their fueling network card that's good in over 60,000 places. And I found it was good in the middle of the Nevada desert at a one-pump gas station in the middle of nowhere. I put the card in, and it said, oh, how much gas do you want? And I tell you what, that was cool. SST Oil. We'll be right back with Mike DeCristo.
There's a man going around taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Some things in life you can just rely on. Like the comfy fit of a favorite pair of jeans and the tried and true performance of a new home comfort system from Rood. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance Heating and Air today at 530-221-2642.
Hi, I'm Sue Blake with Powerhouse Solar. Solar energy not only makes financial sense, but right now you can go solar for zero money down. At Powerhouse Solar, we install the most cost-effective and highest efficiency panels from SunPower. And with the electric company's rolling blackouts, Powerhouse Solar can make sure your family is not left in the dark. We have generators and battery backup systems designed for your specific needs. Call Powerhouse Solar today at 275-5600 or visit us on the web at powerhousesolar.com.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com. Shasta College has been a vital part of this community for over 70 years. Look around. You probably know many of our successful graduates serving our community in high-demand, high-growth fields like nursing, law enforcement, accounting, communications, and agriculture. Summer enrollment is happening now. Call 242-7500 or go online at shastacollege.edu/apply to enroll for the summer semester. Classes start June 8th. Looking for a transfer? Save money and time by spending your first 2 years at Shasta College before you transfer to a university. High school students, summer is the perfect time to earn college credit with no tuition cost. Call 242-7500 or go online at shastacollege.edu/apply.
No tuition cost. Call 242-7500 or go online at shastacollege.edu/apply.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at kcnr1460.com.
Welcome back to Q5 Radio here in the studios, KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Your talk radio, 605-4567 is phone number. Today, the 2nd of May, 8:16 in the morning, 74 degrees out there, going up to 97 today. Heat advisories out. This portion of the show brought to you by Maxwell Insurance and Financial, helping families, veterans, seniors, and business owners since 1993. If you're looking for somebody that can get the job done for you, get her done, and you're talking about insurance or financial advice, then talk to Judy Maxwell and her team. Give her a call at 221-0441, located at 1378 Hilltop Drive. That's Maxwell Insurance and Financial. I'm here with Michael DeQuisto, who is a member of the Reading City Council, and we're going to talk about the proposed, well, it's going to happen tonight, the march in protest of what happened to George Floyd and in Minneapolis, which has caused a great deal of unrest in our nation since then, deaths, shootings, and all types of different things.
It's terrible.
It is terrible.
It's terrible what's happened.
It is.
It's terrible, and I wish you could wave a magic wand and fix it automatically, and it's going to be harder than that to do.
Racial injustice is going to be hard. It would be nice to be able to wave a wand on this. And the thing is that you talk to people about this, and everybody is just, oh, my God. My son's in law enforcement, and he's been in incidents where he's had to put a knee down on somebody. He says, but that's why you've got, your other people around you, move your knee, move your arm, move your, take that hold off, because they're there because when you're in the midst of something. But when something happens like this and nobody says anything for 10 minutes, you start questioning that, and what makes it hard for him and other really good law enforcement officers like we have in our city is now people look at them because, they could do that too.
Well, it's the old story, one rotten egg ruins the whole dozen, and 11 are good, and you just have to remember that. And are you ever going to get rid of all the bad rotten eggs? Probably not.
Nope.
It's going to be a problem. It's always going to be here. A little bit like the coronavirus, in my view. It's always going to be here. It's just a question of how you're going to manage it.
How is the city preparing for this tonight? Is there anything really special? I know that Chief Bill Shuler, is going to march with them.
That's a pretty good indication, I think, of how the city's looking at it. They're preparing, from what I can tell you, they're preparing on two fronts. One is to have the chief march with them. Apparently that's been done in some other cities, and that seems to help quell some of the potential protesters or some of the potential violence. But the other one I can tell you is that the city and the county and the CHP are all have backup plans in place to make sure that there is no rioting, there is no property destruction or looting, and I'm convinced. I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't think it will either. I mean, you know, but, you know, probably people thought in some of their towns like Davenport, Iowa. Now, I don't know a lot about Davenport, Iowa, but two people killed and police assaulted and riots going on there. I mean, I don't know if Davenport, Iowa is, you know, it never struck me as being a hotbed for violence like that. But then maybe it is.
Reading is not part of a big metropolitan area, so I don't know that it would get as much play in the news if something happened. I mean, if I was on the other side looking for a place to do it, I would do it in a place like Beverly Hills or some fancy place where it's easy to get from one town to another down in L.A. as opposed to having to come all the way to Reading. But we'll just have to see. I'm very hopeful that it'll be peaceful tonight because the other one in the community was peaceful. And one of the organizers here is Eddie McAllister.
Eddie McAllister, who is a this guy is a hero.
He is, and he's a gentleman. And
he's a true gentleman, man of color. And
he wouldn't put up with that.
A veteran, no. And you know, if Eddie has anything to say about it, there's nothing going to happen there. That's going to be violent. He loves this community, just as this community loves him. However, have you heard these rumors? And we talked about it during the break. There's a Black Lives Matter bus heading south. Well, it was in Medford, and they encouraged them to leave. And they said, okay, we're heading south to Reading. I mean,
so part of the problem, it's a little bit like the game of telephone where you have 10 people in a circle and you tell a secret to the first one, and by the time it comes back, the secret's usually not the same, and where did it come from?
Yeah.
So in Facebook, when you look at those things, you have to always think, where's it coming from? Is it really true? Why is it? Is the person there? Is the person even a real person who's posting it? With some of these names that you see on there, you look and you go, that's a name of a person? I mean, is it really on Facebook? I put my name down.
I think most people do, don't they, on Facebook?
Well, I don't know, but I just...
There may be some that might be a little strange.
You have to be skeptical when you see it on Facebook and think about it analytically.
Well, I think that our police are not stupid. They have Shuler and McGreeny and Mike Johnson, Eric McGreeny and Mike Johnson from Anderson work close together, that they're looking at this. I'm sure that there's police and other forces that are located not around the march, but could be moved in there if they have to. I mean, just like, I mean, it stands to reason because that's the way they handle it, is put them away from what's happening, but they can move in if they need to be.
I think you're exactly right.
Yeah, well, I mean, that just stands to reason.
That's standard operating procedures.
And then you see places like Dick's that are boarding up their windows because, I don't know, they fear somebody's going to throw a brick through there. And it only takes one person to have this happen.
So the boarding up the windows, I don't blame the property owners for doing it. At the same time, you look at it and you wonder, does that encourage somebody to try to take the board down and break in as opposed to not? And it's just, hopefully you keep the bad eggs out to begin with, and so you don't ever have to get to that point.
We had the Sundial Bridge was graffitied.
That was terrible.
But there was, I mean, people were on it immediately, covering it up.
That was a good, my understanding is there were volunteers that came in
and
took care of it right away. And I'm not sure I think they have cameras, or they might have cameras. I haven't found out if they have cameras to see who actually
did it. If they don't,
they
should.
Well, they should.
Yeah, I mean, if it's something like this. So you don't feel in your, you are not worried about what's going to happen tonight.
I am not.
Okay.
I am not. I'm very confident that the appropriate law enforcement authorities will have it under control and it won't be a problem.
And I don't think that the people there, you know, everything that I've read from the people that are putting this on, you know, that's, hey, we're here to protest an injustice, not to cause problems for anybody. And the last thing we want is violence or looting or anything like this. I don't think it'll happen.
I hope not.
People have asked me that. I said, I just don't think it'll happen.
I don't either. I hope I'm right tomorrow morning.
You know, and Linda and I talk about it. Well, if they come downtown, what do you do if there's rioters and all that? And I said, I don't see it happening. You'd have to bring in a whole bunch of people from outside this community, I think. Are there people in this community that could do something like this? Yeah, there are. But not a large amount of those that would do something like this. And so you would have to bring in, I think, a larger group, which if you want to believe rumors, we're heading south.
Where are you going to bring them from?
I don't, you know, they just...
Montague?
They go from... pay for it.
I mean,
here's my fear. Not my fear. Here's my concern. Is that because people hear this, then you get people from the other side that are going to be there to confront this. And now you've got a group there that, you know, they're not going to make the first move, but they're there just in case. And is that going to be a problem? What I'd like to see of people that are, you know, concerned about this, if you want to show up, join the march.
Well, that's what
become
I would say.
Become part of it. Become part of it.
If you want to go there and be in the march, that's fine. If you want to stand outside your own business to protect it because you're concerned and that's your sole purpose, I don't have a problem with that either, as long as that's all you're doing. You're just standing there and say, you know, if you want to come break the window of my liquor store, you got to get past me and my gun. That's okay because you're protecting your property. But beyond that, I don't think you should do anything.
Mark that part on the in our archives about the one of the city councilmen said you can be out there with a gun to protect your property.
To protect your own property and nothing else.
I think you should be able to. I think you should be able to.
You still got to follow all the rules about when you can shoot people and when you can't.
Oh, yeah.
And
use a deadly
that,
force.
But,
use a deadly force.
But
yeah. It worked in Koreatown down in L.A. when they were burning everything there. Some of the Korean merchants formed their own protective league with weapons, with firearms, and other things too.
It's particularly true when you watch some of these things on the news and the police aren't doing anything and they're clearly outnumbered mm-hmm. and overwhelmed. It's like, what are you supposed to do? Just let it happen and make an insurance claim? Or, you know, it's an individual choice, but I personally wouldn't have a problem with somebody doing that.
Again, I can't imagine something like this happening. I would imagine the type of people we have in Reading, and I could just be totally wrong, but if somebody tried to do this, you know, those people that are peacefully protesting would not let this happen. You know, I mean, would, you know, somebody wants to throw a brick through the store, and three of our marchers just, you know, trounce him or her and just say, no, this is our town. You know, get away. I hope that would be the point. Now, the city council, though, you're having your meeting, your regular meeting.
We are having a regular meeting tonight.
Okay.
Our meetings actually now start at – we used to do closed session after the meeting. We've now started doing closed session before the meeting at 5:15, and the regular meeting starts at 6.
Is that so you can allow all the people in to speak to you?
So,
I mean, they're lined up outside, and you're bringing them in one at a time, you know.
Well, I put a post on Facebook, and I did it frankly, we've had informal discussions, and I did it in response to an email from a citizen. And I'm tired of having the public being excluded from the city council meetings. When it first started, I was of the opinion that the public should be allowed to come in with appropriate safeguards. And I've been of that opinion from middle of March, or whenever the first time it was it got closed, until the present time. As I've said before, you need three on the city council to get that done. And so far that hasn't happened. But I do believe that tonight there will at least be some steps forward made by the city council to open up and let the members of the public come in. You know, it's a big chambers. It's got to hold several hundred people, and you can't tell me that you can't tape off some rows and put them 6 feet apart and let them come in and sit down and have their peace and then go and leave. I mean, that's in addition to the right to protest, the right to come in and speak your grievances to your government. Especially at a local level.
Who's there to represent you?
Who's there to represent you is one of the hallstones and hallmarks of our democracy, and I don't like cutting it off. I was in the I didn't think I voted in favor of Costco, but that meeting was closed, and I thought that the meeting should have been postponed until members of the public could come in and say what they had to say. I don't know if it would have changed anybody's vote, but I'm a big believer in that, and unfortunately, I didn't get.
I don't understand what's so hard about this. I mean, the five of you in there, I mean, if you put a microphone at the end, you know, where you come into the chamber, you put a microphone right there, and people walk in one at a time. They're 100 feet away from you, practically. It seems like they could be able to be heard. I mean, how hard is that?
It doesn't seem very hard to me, and so we'll make some – well, I can only speak for myself.
So we can assume, then, that by next Tuesday – there'll be something in place for people to be able to address the city council.
It's 2 weeks from tonight, and my hope would be that there will be a way for the public to address 2 weeks from tonight, and that will continue going forward. That's my hope, and that's what I'm going to push for tonight, and we'll see what happens. I'm hopeful that it'll pass.
Well, good. I would hope so, too. I would think that it's, I mean, y'all are as smart as the Board of Supervisors. I think y'all should be able to figure this one out. I mean, if it's, and if you can't in 2 weeks, then I think people ought to show up with bullhorns and start making, hey, I'd like to talk to you. You know, after they call, you know, Channel 7 and Channel 12 and other places.
As a city government, I think there's a way to run the meeting to allow the public to come in and make its comments and still comply with the state, whatever word you want to use, directives or guidelines or orders or whatever. It's you know, you have certain powers as a governmental entity that are inherently yours, and how you run your meetings is one of them. And to say that, you know, we're going to keep the public out, well, okay, for a little bit, but then at some point you got to back off and let them back in. You can't keep them out forever. So how are you going to go do it? And when are you going to go do it?
I think you're right. Okay, 8:30, we're going to take a quick break. This portion of the show brought to you by Home Helpers and Sharon Clark. A lot of the caregivers were unable to give care. You know, a lot of the ones not in Home Helpers, of course. And so Sharon picked up a lot of the slack in that, helping people that needed somebody there. And Home Helpers is prepared to do 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, around the clock. However, they're also prepared to do that, you know, a couple hours a day for people maybe recovering from an illness or a surgery that they can't get around. So Home Helpers is there. They're available. Their people are licensed by the state. They've all passed background checks. And Sharon would not put anybody in your home that she would not have in her home. And Sharon will give you a complimentary consultation about what you need and come up with a plan that works for you. Learn more at readyandhomehelpers.com or just give them a call at 226-8350. Ready and Home Helpers. We'll be right back with Michael DeQuisto.
Somebody else's name. So if you're dreaming about California, it don't matter at all where you played before. California's a brand new game.
Get your morning update with us,
Armstrong and Getty, 9 to 12 on KCNR.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
Good morning, Reading. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793 That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
Learn more about our shows and hosts. Check us out online at KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back to 3-5 Radio. Here in the studios, KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. 605-4567 is our phone number. We have Mike DeQuisto here from Reading City Council. Today, the 2nd of June, 8:35 in the morning, 74 degrees out there, going up to 97 today. This portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, the only full-service jewelry store in Reading. They're open. They're there to help you make those right decisions for your loved ones. Located at 2225 Hilltop Drive, right here in Reading, open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4, every day. A question in the chat room asked me if I'm going to go there tonight, and I said, yes, I will be there tonight. I need to be there just to see what happens so I can talk about this tomorrow on the show.
You're talking about the...
To the march.
To the march, not to city council.
No. Why would I go there? I can't get in. I can't say anything. I can just stand outside and hold a sign that says, what about my rights? I could do that. But come to think of it, in 2 weeks, if y'all haven't come up with something about being able to open up the city council to listen to people like the Board of Supervisors is doing today, I might have to get a few of my friends with bullhorns out there and just make complete asses of ourselves until you get the message.
As long as it's a peaceful protest and assembly, there's no problem.
It's peaceful. It'll be loud. But peaceful. You know, open, open, open. You know, like that old commercial.
I really think that something will get taken care of tonight and it'll go forward. But we'll see. It'll be like the march. I can't predict it, and we'll see what happens.
You know what? I would think that you know, we're not talking about infecting people from 100 feet away. I mean, we've already said that. And if you let people come in and use the microphone and you sanitize the microphone like we do right here at KCNR, that there should be no problems. So I'm sure that'll happen.
Well, that's how I look at it. I mean, the whole thing. I did another post on the virus and opening business and what you're going to go do, and everybody has their opinion. And part of it is that it's Mother Nature at work, and there's only a certain amount of things that human beings can do with Mother Nature.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm in favor of opening up and going forward and letting each individual take his or her own risk, because let's just suppose that they tested everybody in the whole country. And tomorrow they gave you the results, and they would say, so many people have antibodies, so many people are infected, so many people are symptomatic, so many people are this or that. All the government can do is give you statistics. You then have to decide as an individual, what are you going to do when you go out and you go to Trader Joe's? Are you going to wear a mask or not? Are you going to be respectful or not? What are you going to do with people that don't have masks on? What level of risk are you willing to take? And if you don't want to, if you think the risk is too high, you don't go out. If you think the risk is okay, you do go out. If you go to a restaurant and you're not happy with the servers because they're not wearing a mask, then don't go to the restaurant anymore. But that's between you and the business. And the biggest reason why is that the federal government can print money. Whether you think it's a good idea or a bad idea, they can print money. The states can't print money. The only way the states get money and the cities that it flows down to is through sales tax, the principal way, sales tax, property tax, and transient occupancy tax. And if the businesses are shut down, guess what else gets shut down? The sales tax and the hotel bed tax. Property tax is a little different. That might not be shut down as much.
No, they're not shut down at all.
But so in the fiscal interest of all the local governments, the sooner they open up, the better. And I just think that's, you know, that's the right longer-term way to look at it. And you talk about the risk, And I acknowledge there is risk. There's no question. You have a risk when you're driving on the freeway that somebody's going to come at 90 miles an hour from behind you and hit you and cause your car to, you know, get in an accident. You could die. And you can't stop that risk. That's one of the risks, but you're willing to take it because the benefit of driving and doing what you need to go do outweighs the risk. That's the choice that every individual is going to have to make. And all the government can do is delay the day that choice comes or put conditions and make suggestions and recommendations, but the government can't make that choice for you or for me or for anybody else. And I think it's wrong when they do. I mean, they did for a little while. They had a reason to try to slow the spread so that it wouldn't overrun the hospitals. Well, clearly it's not overrunning the hospitals. We've got a 125-bed hospital that's in packing crates right now here in Shasta County. So I'm willing to go take the risk. But if somebody isn't and they want to stay home, that's fine too. I don't fault them for that.
You know, it's an individual. That's up to the individual. But you've opened up for my next series of questions. What impact is this going to have on our budget? They're closing down for 2 months, and so it's a slow opening. Because restaurants are opening up with such restrictions on them. I know a couple aren't even opening up till June or mid-June because there's no way they can make any money because they've got smaller restaurants. And they can only have 50% or 25%, depending on what you're hearing. With everything marked off, there's just no way they can make money.
I think Clarius was one of them.
Clarius is one of that.
I can't open until I can't do it at 50%. It's a slow death. I may as well stay closed and not do anything.
But the other problem with that is they need to expand, which I understand they're doing. The PPP you've got now, I think it's more than 60 days. I think they're expanding that out.
To spend the money.
A lot of businesses, you know, that got the money in early April when it first came out. You know, they're not even open yet, or they're just starting to open, and there's no way they're going to be able to spend that money.
Or their employees are getting unemployment and making more than their salary.
Well, that's the other thing.
That's an issue.
So what impact is this going to have on city services?
The property tax, we don't think there's going to be much of an impact. The transient occupancy tax has gone down. That comes in on a monthly basis. So the last report we got was through the end of March. So we'll get a report in another month or two for April and May. That's probably going to go down by half is what the estimate is. And then the third one is the sales tax. The sales tax is paid on a quarterly basis from the state to the city, and it's paid essentially behind a quarter. So the money we get now is for the first quarter of the year. And then we'll get the money for the second quarter over the next 3 or 4 months.
The first quarter is okay.
Second and third, they don't know what it's going to be. They think it'll go down some, but
some.
Well, it's like the forecast models for the coronavirus. But it depends what assumptions you make what numbers you get.
Well, here's common sense: is that I park in this street right in front of me. In the morning, I could park here if I wanted to, but by 9 o'clock it starts filling up, and by noon you can't find a place to park out in front. For 2 months, I parked out in front, and I was the only truck there, except for somebody that worked here. We pulled in also. We were the only vehicles on this street because everything on this street was shut down except us. Everything.
The number that we got, as I recall, was they estimated around a 10% drop. I personally think it's going to be 25% or 30% or more. Now, the other good news is that the city does have some reserves, and hopefully they'll be able to cushion some of the decrease with letting it come back open. But that gives me back to the point of the sooner you open up, the sooner you start collecting the money again.
So can you reprioritize, which is not really a word, but we know what it means, reprioritize some of the money? So instead of it going to A, you can move it to B?
The answer to that is yes. We haven't had to do that on a big scale yet, but we may have to.
Money for a soccer field?
Is that a question or a statement?
Well, that's just a question. I mean, the answer, we have money. We have so many $100,000 a year going to that.
The answer to that would be, in theory, the city could reprioritize any matter that it's spending money on. Now that you have contracts, So, for instance, the soccer field, I think they're actually working on it now, and we've signed a contract for it, so you have to look at the terms of the contract and see what it says.
If there's a contract, I can understand that, because people would put money into that to make something happen.
But to the extent there are projects on the board that haven't been undertaken but have been budgeted, you could certainly delay or reduce or change that kind of thing. So the answer is yes, there are abilities in the city to reprioritize.
Because of businesses, how many do we have? You can see new businesses still trying to open here. This is a great time to try it open. So, of course, everything's been put on hold. But then you see places down there like that motel on Pine Street that was just sold.
Oh, the one the developer bought?
The developer bought. We had them in here last Friday. And he hasn't said exactly what he's going to put there yet. But they said they've been working with the city on this.
I think the city would like to get that property changed to virtually anything from what it is right at the moment.
I think they're going to do it. I don't think it's going to be a motel any longer. And it may not even be two stories. It could be a lot bigger.
I don't know. It could be a project like Brent Weaver's done on the corner of Pine.
I think you've seen a lot more of those. Yeah.
I think there could be. He's got another one he's working on, I think, on South Street down by the railroad track.
Real quickly, what's the status of the lawsuit? And this comes in from one of our listeners. Filed against the city regarding the car fire.
It is all the judges in Shasta County said they wouldn't hear the case. They recused themselves.
Okay.
So they took a while to get a specific judge, and they got a judge out of Orville or Butte County or Chico or Placer County, somewhere there. So they got
out of Paradise. Okay, not out of Paradise. No. All right.
So they got that taken care of, and now they are in what I call the skirmishing mode over who exactly are the plaintiffs in that lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
Because they initially filed for certain individuals, and then they expanded it to make it a class of people. So it would be if you sustained property damage from the fire, that could be a possible definition of a class or this or that. And so they're arguing at the moment about, is it a class? Is it not a class? Do you have to file a government claim? Do you have to not file a government claim? So it's in the very initial early stages.
Okay.
Proceeding.
All right. Thank you.
It'll be around for a while.
8:46 in the morning. We're here with Mike DeQuisto, who is a member of the Reading City Council. And 74 degrees out there, going up to 97. Heat advisories are out. So just please remember that over the last 2 months, you've probably been taking your little dog with you or animals or your grandmother. So if you decide to park the car, even if it only seems like 5 minutes, please don't leave your animals in the car. Because if you get stuck in there, they can have a tragic death. So just remember that when you're out shopping or driving around, just because it's fun to drive around, because now you can leave your house. 8:46 in the morning, we'll be right back.
Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a dental discount savings plan annual membership. The dental discount savings plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
You know, it can be difficult to find a trustworthy, knowledgeable, and yet affordable auto repair shop. Advanced Automotive is a second-generation, locally owned, full-service repair shop serving our community since 1993, and one of only four AAA-approved auto repair shops in the Reading area. Advanced Automotive has a goal, and it's to keep it simple to have safe, reliable vehicles for our customers and our community. Call or come by to meet the crew who is here to serve you. 844-4423. Advanced Unlimited.
Alan Gordon here, Coach Master Collision. Thankfully, it appears that Coach Master Repair is an essential business and fully prepared to repair any minor or major damage to your vehicle. With the invasion of the coronavirus, Coach Master is taking all precautions for the safety of our employees and our customers. We have closed all traffic through our lobby to ensure proper social distancing and will be disinfecting your vehicle upon arrival and before delivery. With the effects and response from the virus, we feel fortunate to be able to maintain all of our employees. They will be here to provide all services required for a proper and complete repair. These are uncharted territories. Let's all work together for a full, safe, and prosperous recovery. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road, serving the Reading community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Pulse Urgent Care is happy to announce the reopening of our Urgent Care Clinic. Our hours are Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., Saturday 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., and closed on Sundays. To protect the patients and the staff, we will continue to follow the recommendations on social distancing and face coverings. If you have or had a fever, cough, or shortness of breath within the last 14 days, please call ahead at 530-722-1111 for a screening. Check out our website and Facebook page for more information. PulseUrgentCareCenter.com, 100 East Cypress Avenue. If it's urgent for you, it's important to
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now, and a lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvie with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
If it's someone who has something to say about the North State, you'll hear it here.
We built this city. We built this city on rock and roll.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in our last segment. Carl and the Bot, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Today the 2nd, 8:51 in the morning, 74 degrees out there, going up to 97 today. Our guest is Michael DeQuisto, who is a member of the Reading City Council. We've talked about taxes, sales tax is going to be taken, the city's going to be taking a hit on this, but you're a quarter behind. So you're not going to know then until, March, April, May, June. So at the end of June, you'll know.
The quarter through June will pay through the quarter through March. So,
right.
So after June, starting then, we'll be the.
We'll start. We're going to start seeing how
the effect
how,
of
the effect of
what
what's
is.
Going on here. Okay, Costco. It appears that the city council gave their stamp of approval for it to go forward.
So, the project that will never die and that will never end, and that
nor should it,
and finally went forward. We got a lot of comments and complaints and support for it. It turns out that the support was probably 9-1, 10-1 of people in favor of it, and there's certain groups that aren't. But and at the end of the day, one of the observations I made is that it's like putting a size 13 foot in a size 10 shoe. It doesn't appear to be the best location for it, but it's good for the city. It's good for the money they bring in. They generate, well, in the seven figures for sales tax money, and to have the city lose that from a general fund funding source would not be a good idea. The other big issue is the traffic circle that they want to put in. And the traffic circle is new, and it's different. There's a few in Reading, not too many. It's a little bit like, and I hate to say this, a little bit like Nancy Pelosi said, you got to pass the bill before you see what's in it. Well, the truth of the matter is you have to, if you build it and see how it works, that's really the only way you're going to know if it works or doesn't work.
People have got to stop being afraid of these traffic circles, because that's what it is. It's a fear of this thing. I've seen them 8 lanes wide in Europe, and you know, believe it or not, it's not impossible to use these, and you'll see a lot of them that are 4 lanes or 4 lanes wide that you just, you know, traffic circles work once you learn how it, you know, how the traffic moves in them. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out how a traffic circle works. But you're right, though. If you haven't used them, there is some trepidation there.
There's no question. It's brand new, and people mm-hmm. don't like progress or something new. It doesn't mean they won't get used to it. I'm sure they will.
Yeah.
It's been around for a long time.
Sure.
So I think in the long run, it'll be a good thing for Reading to have Costco move down there. As far as what happens with their other property, I don't know. I'm not privy to it. I believe they own it. I assume they probably try to sell it.
Yeah, the one downtown?
The one downtown.
I was thinking about making it into a country western bar. You know, several, you know, like six different bars in there, and a, you know, great parking.
You could run your radio show from there.
Run the radio show from there. We could have the city council meeting in there. We could do all that stuff. Wouldn't you?
Okay. all in all, I'm glad that Costco's taken care of. Now, there may be an appeal, and there may be some, you know, other things, but I think for the most part, it's pretty much a done deal.
What about Wind River? Wind River's backed off a little bit. They said because of the timelines and everything that's going on in the government right now. So
Wind River is interesting. The you hear a lot of stories and this and that. The official story from the Bureau of Indian Affairs is that Wind River sent a letter, which I've seen from their lawyer, and they asked the Bureau of Indian Affairs to put their application in suspension until some legal questions from California Supreme Court are resolved that are tangentially related to their approval process. And so the Bureau of Indian Affairs said, okay, we'll put it in suspense. So it hasn't been withdrawn.
No, of course not.
It hasn't been denied. It's just pending.
It's just pending until the California Supreme Court. And it doesn't directly – it's not something that directly affects Wind River, but it's another lawsuit that there obviously are some kind of decision has to be made that could.
It potentially could affect it, but it doesn't bear on the environmental impact statement that is currently – under review and mm-hmm. in person. I mean, I'd like to see the BIA just resolve it one way or the other and be done with it and move on. But the council was opposed to it, and I suppose a delay is better than an approval. So you take what you can get, and it's the government. It takes a long time.
When the council sent this letter of disagreement to the board of Indian Affairs, is that something? Why did the city council do that, saying you don't want it built there, as opposed to a letter of concern about issues?
Well, the letter said what the letter said. There's probably, as I recall, I helped draft it. I want to say there's half a dozen reasons in there why we didn't support it, or we thought it was. It's not that we didn't support them expanding at their current location. It was that we didn't think that location for that project was a good place to have it, and that was the concern that we had. And I can't say officially whether that entered into the decision to suspend it or not, but when you couple that with the county's denial and then some of the private groups that were opposed to it and were working on it, I think that they took all that together and they came up with the big fat no. And interestingly, the delay, and if it's ultimately not approved, will help the Costco traffic circle at Bocelli, because it would be, if it's not built there or it's delayed, there the access from Bocelli Lane up, which would have to be approved and widened and all that, may not happen. And that makes the traffic density on the traffic circle at the corner there less, which should help things.
So Wind River, who owns all that property, do they have to wait for everybody to agree that, you know, this is what you can build there on their own property?
My understanding is, and I'm not an expert on Indian law, is that they own it in what we call fee ownership, and they want to put it in trust. And it has to, in order to have gambling on it, it has to be in trust. So
right.
that's the heart of the issue. And until they can get it in trust, they can't have gambling. And they can't get it in trust unless the BIA approves the application to put it in trust.
Okay, so say it goes into trust. So now, is it these are people who own this property. It's in trust. So do they have to wait to what everybody agrees, which would be the right kind of business they can put there? Because I've heard everything from strawberries, you know, just let the cattle graze on this thing.
I think currently the cattle do graze on it.
Yeah.
Or whoever they let it do it, they're the ones that own it. Once it goes in trust, for them to build a casino, so if it goes in trust and they approve the ability to build a casino, they still are going to have to probably do something with the Army Corps of Engineers. It's flatlands right by the river, so they've got issues with power and sewer and water.
But the decision about what they build there then, if it's in trust, is totally up to them.
That's a good – I don't know the answer to that question.
I'm pretty sure that that's it. Once it's in trust, that's – now everybody else is, you know, guess what? This is their land, and then they can build on it. But you're right. I'm sure there's going to be lawsuits and everything else.
Well, I would think so, given the community opposition that's been there so far. I think there'll be a lot of – I think that the tribe is in it for the long term and that they're just going to wait. And if – you know, I've said to people before, if they don't like the decision of this administration or not getting where they go, maybe they'll just wait till the administration changes. I mean, it's cyclical. We're not going to have Donald Trump and the Republicans in forever. At some point, it'll go back to administration that might be more favorable and they'll – renew the application.
Well, I thought you were talking about the city council. that's who you're talking about. Because
well, no, it's really the federal decision. It's not the city council.
No, I understand that. I understand. Hey, Mike, thanks a lot. It's kind of, you know, last time, you know, I say, hey, can you be on? And there's so many things going on in our community, and it just keeps adding up. Tomorrow we're going to have Bill Shuler on, chief of police, and we're trying to get one of the ladies that has organized tonight's march also to join us to talk about the march itself, the accomplishments, what they want to accomplish, and all this tomorrow. We'll find out probably after the show here. So everybody have a great day. Yes, I will be out there tonight because I'm going to talk about what happened tonight, tomorrow. Have a great day. Be safe out there.
Thanks for having me.